Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today is Wednesday, July the 26th, 2023. And I'm joined in studio by Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
Just three of us, people. We got Abraham Hamilton III coming along next hour.
Yeah. He'll be in with Steve Jordahl.
Is that the only guest? That's the only guest we have today, right?
That's correct.
So it's all on us, people.
We can do it, man.
We can do it.
I believe we can do it.
That's confidence. All right, so... lot to talk about today. By the way, did you get your AC fixed?
I did. Let me tell you, now for probably about a month, our 20-year-old unit was limping along, and we could rarely get it below 77 degrees during the day when it was hot.
Yeah.
And so we had a bunch of fans blowing because we were trying to get somebody to come out. And about a month ago was when everybody's was going out, and we couldn't get any. I had a couple that just didn't even return my calls.
You mean repairman?
Yeah.
AC repairman?
Yeah. They just didn't even return my calls. They were probably so swamped. But anyway, we got somebody, and Monday I was home. My wife was babysitting the grandkids, so I was home all day, giving them the benefit of my expertise, you know.
Were you looking over their shoulder?
I did initially. I actually did. And I wanted to say something like, hey, aren't you supposed to remove the flacker switch?
No, don't do that. They'll leave.
But at some point I said, hey, I'll just let you guys get on with your work there. And they said, okay, thank you. But it is, air conditioning is a blessing from heaven.
Amen.
Just going to tell you.
So it's fixed.
It's fixed. We got a new unit.
What's it reading now when you left home?
It was 72 degrees.
And sunny.
And sunny. In fact, my wife... who tends to be, I don't know whether it's cold natured or hot natured.
Most people don't know. No, they get it confused.
She tends to think it's warmer than it is. That's just my wife. And so I told her, we're going to have to come to an understanding. I am not going to bed in sweats because it's freezing in here.
In the middle of the summer.
In the middle of the summer. My sweats are packed up.
For better or worse, whatever.
Yeah.
You're right about air conditioning being a blessing from heaven.
It is.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you.
Especially now, we got a national heat wave going on, do we, Chris?
We do, yeah. It's been triple digits in some places for days, if not a few weeks. Actually, I was out on vacation last week, and we had discussed an idea to go to San Antonio. Uh-huh. And we decided at the last minute not to go because they were having – like 104, 105 degree weather in the late afternoon.
Yeah, and that's not even the heat index either,
yeah.
Is it?
It's very, very concerning. Of course, Hillary Clinton did tweet out yesterday that if you're unhappy with the hot weather, you should blame what she called MAGA Republicans because they've been the ones fighting
just MAGA Republicans.
Reforms.
What about establishment Republicans?
Oh, she's fine with those because they usually side
with things. What about liberal Republicans? Just MAGA Republicans are responsible for what?
The heat wave? Yes, that's what she said. The Center for American Progress put out an infographic. It's basically a fancy, you know, flashy little image with all kinds of different sayings and whatnot on it. And it was all the different heat problems throughout the country. And Hillary basically said that it was because of MAGA Republicans that we're having this problem, and you should vote them out of office.
It's not about Leonardo DiCaprio or John Kerry flying around in private jets or anything like that.
The people, I've said it before, and I'll say it again until the Lord returns, and then I don't have to worry about it. The people sounding the alarm about what they call man-made climate change are the ones contributing to the problem the most. Because they're
by their own definition.
Oh, yeah. 98% of the people listening to the sound of my voice have nowhere near the carbon footprint of one Hillary Rodham Clinton. That's scientific fact.
Is she one? One hitter. You said there's one? Hillary Rodham Clinton?
Yes.
Okay, just one.
Well, you know, she's HRC.
I know what you meant. You know what? It's summertime, people.
It is, yeah.
And guess what we have?
Have you seen
hot weather?
Some people have been pointing this out. the maps that weather, like, you know, weather reports,
yeah,
or CNN or whatever, when they're discussing this, have you seen this, how they have changed the maps so that now they're just using all these variations of red, mm-hmm, and orange and pink, all these alarming colors, where just last year or the year before, they would have some green mixed in. So they're trying to make the map look hotter, even though the temperatures are essentially, yeah, the same.
That is why that's one reason why I've thought for a long time now that people are starting to go, well, maybe there is something to man's impact on the climate, because you've got nonstop news cycles now. You've got channels devoted solely to weather, and there are multiple channels now available that only do weather. And if that's all they talk about, or they can, you know, we can cover something instantaneously now, almost.
Right.
So people are like, well, maybe there is something to wildfires, even though they've been breaking out forever.
You know what? Okay, I'm sitting here looking at the 10-day forecast for where I live,
yeah,
where we live, here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and this isn't as hot as some people have experienced or are experiencing, but you know what? We got 98, 99, 100, 100, this is the upcoming days. Next Monday be 98, next Tuesday 99, next Wednesday 99, then 100 and 100. Okay, so we got 10 days. No, 8 to 10 days of August.
Yes.
Weather.
That's when our
and you know what? Then it goes back down to 92 normal, mm-hmm, temperatures. I'm just saying, these global warming activists, they're seizing on the moment, and then when things go back to normal, you won't hear from them again.
Right.
And you certainly won't hear from them when we have – well, yeah, you will hear from them in January when we have snowmageddons.
Yeah, because that's climate change too, Tim.
Right, they'll be saying that.
You can't have it both ways.
Well, they are.
They try, yeah, to.
Well, when your best friend runs the news cycle, they're not going to say anything contrary to what you're saying. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, anyway, may your air conditioning not go out, folks. That's what we hope for, you and your family.
That's right.
This summer season. You're listening to Today's Issues, Ed. Something that hadn't gone out yet is our streaming service.
That's right.
Not affected by the heat wave.
That's right. If you want to watch the live stream of this program and a lot of
others.
We're on
fire.
We are on fire. And it is man-made, I got to say. This is man-made fire right here, folks.
I make fire.
You can watch not only the live stream for this radio program, but a lot of our others by going to our streaming platform. It is streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. Very easy to set up an account there and get access not only to the streaming of this program, but also a lot of our video content. Or you can just simply... compromise with Big Social and go to Facebook Live, and click through, and you can watch this program as well. We do have a stream that shows up on Facebook.
Okay, other than the heat wave sweeping the country, if heat waves can sweep, what do we got? What else we got, Chris?
Well, I was talking about this with Ed prior to the show. Fox, they're really big on Hunter Biden being in court today to enter his guilty plea.
Talking about the Fox News Channel?
Yes. He's in court today entering his guilty plea on not paying his taxes on time a few years ago, and also falsifying a gun form. The reason why I was talking with Ed is that it was humorous. FoxNews.com at the moment, if you go there, you'll see this Bigfoot video-like image of Hunter walking into the courtroom or the courthouse there. But the president's son is facing the music today over...
What do you mean Bigfoot-type image?
Well, you know how imagery. Like you know how every once in a while when somebody comes out and they claim that they have video of Bigfoot and you have that video of like this dude and,
yeah,
you know, a bear suit or
the
whatever.
Bigfoot walking with the grainy film?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he reminds you of?
That's basically what it is, except it's good video quality.
Okay, Hunter Biden walking into, but you know, all the lawyers for anybody who gets accused of crime, they have to go before a court. They always tell them, put a suit and tie on. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Huh? Well, in most courts, I think you're required to dress up.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, okay. I think there's kind of like a dress code.
Well, I better not ever be charged then.
Golf shirt and slacks.
I'm going to wear my shorts.
Probably not going to cut it.
I think I always thought they made them dress up, the lawyers, or the defendants made them dress up, in a suit and tie to project a more classy image than that of a criminal.
Well, I mean, that probably is part of it. From the if you've got a jury, you want you want to look respectable and not look like a bunch of bums like we look, you know. But I think most in most courts, what the judge would probably say to Hunter, if Hunter Biden showed up,
Jimmy Buffett clothes,
you know, Weekend at Bernie's style. Okay. I think the judge would say to his attorneys, have your client dressed for court tomorrow. Right.
Like Fetterman.
Like, yeah, not like Fetterman. So Senator, I think that most courts are like that.
The Senator Hoodie Fetterman from Pennsylvania.
He's got an extensive collection of black hoodies that he wears to all kinds of black tie events.
All right, so Hunter Biden is in. He's going to plead guilty to not paying his taxes. And what about that gun?
The gun charge is that he possessed a firearm, knowing that he was not allowed to have it. And that he was addicted to a controlled substance. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to have.
Where does that stand?
Well, I think he's going to plead guilty on that as well, isn't he?
These are being considered misdemeanors today, so he's going to get a slap on the wrist.
This whole thing just. All right. So one other element to this story.
Yes.
His lawyer, one of his lawyers. By the way, Hunter Biden is quite the artist. That guy is, He's selling paintings,
his artworks,
to Democrats, supporters.
He's making Bob Ross look like a kindergarten student.
That's right.
Happy trees.
That was pretty good, Chris. That's the guy who with the afro hairdo, and
I have his bobblehead in the office.
He's passed away.
Yeah. Oh, he's
Bob Ross. Yeah.
So he's no longer painting.
He no longer has an afro. I think so.
But you know that was
dark. I'm sorry.
That's the guy we're talking about.
Yeah, the guy. Was he on PBS or something?
Yeah,
painting.
There's a guy on the internet that mocks him, that is hilarious. I don't even know the guy's name. And
he kind of had like a personality of who's the Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Mr. Rogers.
A PBS personality?
Yeah, he kind of, that Bob Ross had that kind of same kind of personality.
Except he's painted.
Low, you know, very low key, soft spoken.
I never watched that show. I wondered how's.
It's pretty cool to watch it.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of been, you do it right before you go to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Actually, if you have the Pluto app, the Pluto app. It's a streaming app.
Right.
You can watch it on your computer if you wanted to. Not that I would do that here, Ed. But it's a 24/7 channel of The Joy of Painting, which was the name of Bob Ross's show.
Okay, I have to check that out. All right. So back to Hunter Biden's lawyer. He pulled a fast one last night or the other day, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. And Fox has incorporated this into the coverage. Newsmax has done it as well of their coverage of Hunter being in court today. I'll share the link from a Daily Mail article here in a second. But for those not aware of what Tim just mentioned, Hunter Biden's lawyer claimed a fake phone call attempt in an effort to remove papers from the court docket and now says, well, that was just an unfortunate and unintentional miscommunication on the eve of this plea deal hearing that he's at today. So they're trying to, you know,
Happened was, allegedly here, the lawyer for Hunter Biden calls up the clerk for the judge, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And tries to pass himself off.
It's a she, I think.
She.
It is a she, yes.
The lawyer?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what pronoun does she use?
Well, that's a whole different.
Touché.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
You know what
thing.
I'm saying? So.
I can't even tell you if she's.
They
a
tried
woman.
To deceive the lawyer for Hunter Biden tried to intentionally deceive the
allegedly
the judge
mm-hmm.
by not entering something about a whistleblower's testimony.
Yes,
in the court document,
out of concern that might impact this recommended sentence from the DOJ today.
Okay, beyond this, I think we just need to move on because Hunter Biden's life has been a mess. Is that a legal term?
If it's not, it should be.
He has absolutely been one train wreck after another one. His
yeah.
whole, his life.
That's true. We need to remind ourselves and our listeners that he needs prayer.
He needs to find Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right.
As his Savior and change his life.
Yeah,
and not to mention his soul.
Yes,
you know,
is possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. But he is just wow, just. Anyway,
it is one stumble after another, so to speak.
Yeah. All right. Next story, Chris.
Well, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but the president of the United States yesterday made a huge statement that not many people caught at the time immediately following his remarks. According to Joe Biden, we ended cancer as we know it.
Uh-huh.
Not just we, he.
Right, yes, based on the things that he has done since President Obama.
So he spoke yesterday. Where did he speak?
He spoke at an event at the White House to promote insurers expanding access to mental health coverage, which is something Joe Biden pushed for after he took the
office. What did it have to do with cancer?
Because he's saying, based on us being able to combat things and people having more access to a doctor's office.
Okay, do we have the clip of?
We should just let him.
We should.
In his own words.
As LeVar Burton would say on Reading Rainbow, you don't have to take my word for it. Clip 4.
I said I'd cure cancer. They looked at me like, why cancer? Because no one thinks we can. That's why, and we can. We end cancer as we know it. Deliver on our sacred obligations to veterans was the second thing I think is critically important.
Well, now, was he saying we did defeat cancer, or we're going like
we ended cancer as we know it, based on his work to expand insurance.
I'm saying the guy's got to the end of the year, then you're gonna have to remove him, one way or another.
You're talking about even the Democrats are gonna realize that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Between his physical, you know, shuffling around, falling.
How does that happen though? I mean, are you saying they will convince him to step down? I don't think they can by, you know, legal force force him. He may believe he's still got his fastball and can get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I don't think he can even find his way to the mound.
All right.
But
you got the commander-in-chief of the United States of America who doesn't know where he is a lot of the times. And slurred speech on a daily basis.
Right.
Having trouble putting thoughts together.
Who's claimed he's from like every walk of life.
Can hardly read a teleprompter anymore. So
I agree with you. I just don't know how, unless he agrees, how do they get him out of there? The Democrats, I'm saying. They'd have to convince
him. That's a good question. I'm just going to wildly speculate.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's a professional thing to do.
Right, at this point, yeah.
At this point. I got to think somebody is going to tell him, maybe his wife, although she hadn't heretofore.
Right.
Going to tell him it's time to step down, honey. It's time. We need to move on with our life, and you don't need the pressures of being president it's either that they can invoke
the 25th Amendment.
Yeah, but nobody's going to. The Democrats aren't going to.
They don't want to do that.
That would be. They'd have. That'd be a.
They don't care if he's laying in on a stretcher.
Right. That'd be a force out. Yeah. You'd have to force him out.
I'm just thinking by the end of the year, he's going to resign, or so. And I don't know. Again, I don't know how you get Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, if he's the one. I don't think the Democrats want to run Vice President Harris.
No.
So I don't
think they want. They don't want to run RFK.
Here's where the Democrats made a huge mistake. Allowing Biden to pick Harris as his running mate. Because I'm just looking at this from a strategic standpoint. Not their ideology or anything like that, okay? Because I'm conservative, so I disagree with about all their politics. I'm talking about the Democrats.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about just from a straight strategic perspective. Allowing him to pick Harris, which didn't help his ticket at all. Because If you're going to say, well, it helps him win African-Americans were going to vote for Biden, it didn't matter what.
Right.
Because that's, they vote, they
could have had Kermit the Frog as yes. the vice president.
Listen, the black community, by and large, is going to vote for Democrats 90% of the time. And it doesn't matter whether that Democrat candidate is white or black or Hispanic or anything. They're just going to vote for Democrats. So right. it didn't help him mm-hmm. at all. Furthermore, she was very unpopular with Democrat voters.
Yes, she had. She had to drop out.
She had to drop out. She was like dead last at 3%.
Right. Don't forget that she said Joe Biden is, and I'm paraphrasing this, she said Joe Biden is a racist early right. on in their debate yeah. with one another.
Yeah, remember that? Mm-hmm. So it was. So she didn't help the ticket at all, and as we know now, she's not up to the job.
You think they knew that when Biden selected her? Because I just wonder if they knew how
who's
bad.
Who's they?
Just the Biden team. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if they knew how
oh, yeah.
bad a politician she was.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if they knew she was.
Because she's incompetent.
Yeah.
She's clearly yeah. not up to the job.
Do you want to go over? Let's go back in the Wayback Machine, if you will. I found a CNN article from early in 2020 when he said, I've got it down to four black women. Because he said he was going to pick a black woman.
Yeah, that's what he said. He cornered, he put himself in the corner.
I think the reason they picked her is probably because she was the biggest name in terms of notoriety.
She was a candidate.
Yes, Senator and presidential candidate Kamala Harris of California. The list included in 2020, according to CNN, which loves Joe Biden, Representative Val Demings of Florida, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, former Obama administration National Security Advisor Susan Rice, and Representative Karen Bass of California.
Yeah, probably Susan Rice would have been a better choice than Kamala Harris. Anyway, she is
an effective communicator, removing everything we think about.
And she's because we all agree with what probably she would have believed in.
Who are you talking about?
Susan Rice.
Oh.
But she is a very smart lady.
Yeah.
Now, in her support yeah. for abortion and those kind yeah. of things, of course, that intelligence can be
anyway,
brought in service of a dark agenda.
Sorry about that. This whole conversation started because I said I just don't see how Biden. I was commenting not on the contents of his "I cured cancer," which is that what he said?
We ended cancer as we know it. Is what he said?
Okay. See there, he doesn't know what he's talking. He doesn't. I don't think he realizes what he said. That's what I'm saying. I'm giving him the benefit. I don't think the guy's up there going, "I cure cancer." Who's buying it?
Right.
You know, as he looks out across the audience, he's saying something, and you could ask him 5 minutes later, "Did you just mean what you said?" He would say, "What? What did I say?" See what I'm saying? Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is no way to prove what I'm about to say, but it plays in your point. It's possible the reason they haven't invoked the 25th or talked him out of office is because they know she's going to be the one in power, and she will lose to whoever the nominee is in 2024 because, as we've seen from her own speaking engagements, she rambles and says all kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, just from a purely entertaining standpoint, having Harris, Vice President Harris, talking every day to figure out what kind of dressing we're putting on this salad. You know what I'm saying?
This word salad.
Now it'd be terrible for the Democrat Party and for our country to have that, to have her as the commander in chief for any length of time. But you got it, huh?
Y'all have laughed at me the whole time.
Okay, here we go, Ed.
Michelle Obama.
There we go.
Waiting in the wings. I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
Well, eventually, it's going to happen. And then
in this crazy world that we live in right now, I would say anything's possible. Giving up my life if I'm Michelle Obama, the good life.
Yeah.
For the White House, not something I want to do. We'll be back.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Tim, Ed, and Chris, Abraham Hamilton III, a lawyer who doesn't bill us by the hour when he appears on this show. Huh?
And we're glad.
We're glad he will be with us at the top of the, well, not the top of the hour, at 5 after 11:05. Chris Woodward now, Steve Jordahl will be with us later. Okay, so did we finish our conversation about where we were with
I will just say is what if the Democrats are going to do something with Biden, they have to do it fairly soon. I don't think they have the spine to do it because you have the primary season starting in less than 6 months. January.
Right.
They have South Carolina lined up first. So,
the best case scenario for the Democrats would be, seems to me, if you're going to have a primary season, although you'd have to put all that together in the, pretty quickly, would be for him to say, I'm not running now, right, or in the next month. And then the people on their side who wanted to
Right, because you get your name on ballots. You got to get
do debates,
ground team, do debates, all that.
Yeah.
They're running out of time.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to go with Biden.
Wow.
Which is,
what if he just becomes incapacitated?
Well, then the Democratic Party.
Then Harris becomes president.
Well, not necessarily. Well, if before the 2024 election,
yeah,
Harris would. That would not mean that she automatically runs in 2024, but she would finish out the president's term if Joe Biden became incapacitated. Now, if she wanted to finish out his term and run, she could do that.
Mm-hmm. What if he's diagnosed with something like dementia?
Well, then you invoke the 25th Amendment. At that point, if you've got legal medical grounds,
yes, I'm talking about a doctor said you have dementia.
Then you would have, I forget what the 25th Amendment states, who has to, Chris, look that
up. Well, then I think he would resign.
Yeah,
I do. I really do. Huh?
Yeah, if a doctor says he's got dementia and whatever number of months
he would step down.
He would have to step down.
I think he would. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next story, Chris.
Well, let's keep it with the Biden-Harris administration.
Why, Chris?
Because I have some.
Why do we want to do that? Huh?
I've got.
Can you not get enough Biden-Harris?
This would be the last one.
Okay.
This would be the last one.
Remember
and
that.
I bring it up because it's been in the news for 24, 36 hours. That being the more reaction to Vice President Harris's comments last week that Florida has this new history curriculum that's teaching people. Black people benefited from slavery because it taught them a trade and stuff like that, which is false what she said.
Right.
But the media has been running wild with it because, again, the mainstream media, or as Abe would say, the talking snake media.
They hate conservatives.
They do.
And they hate Governor Ron DeSantis.
Yes. And they label anybody that criticizes her as being a racist because she's a black woman.
Right.
Well, one of the people criticizing Vice President Harris is a Florida black history academic by the name of Dr. William B. Allen. He is very up to speed on this curriculum, and I have some audio here of Dr. Allen saying that the comments from Vice President Kamala Harris, our vice president, are false. Clip 5.
There's been a little bit of backlash to these standards that, you know, were put out. And, you know, like you said, that, you know, these were done in open sessions so the public could, you know, listen or watch along. You know, what would you say to critics who say these standards have set education back?
Well, I can't answer critics whom I haven't seen or heard. The only criticism I've encountered so far is a single one that was articulated by the vice president, and which was an error. As I stated in my response to the vice president, it was categorically false. It was never said that slavery was beneficial to Africans. What was said, and anyone who reads this will see this with clarity, it is the case that Africans proved resourceful, resilient, and adaptive, and were able to develop skills and aptitudes which served to their benefit, both while enslaved and after enslavement.
This is a history class taught in public, Florida public schools.
Yes.
And I think it's only a sentence or two from a book.
Yes.
A history book. And so what Harris, Vice President Harris did, and the liberal media, they try to seize on the way a sentence was. This gentleman here, himself an African-American professor or academic, explained it.
Yes.
Explained what the meaning of the text was. But the liberal media and Vice President Harris, she flew down. She got on a government plane and went from D.C. to Jacksonville, Florida, so she could say basically that Governor DeSantis is pro-slavery.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
I know.
Yeah. I'm serious. That was her shining
she
moment.
She went down there at our expense
right.
to say yeah. something about a
just,
guy
just got on a plane to Jacksonville.
Well, at least she found her way to the border of something. The border of Florida.
Florida-Georgia border?
That's right. Let me just say this. When I have preached sermons on Exodus about the Israelites, the children of Israel coming out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt, I have frequently said, and it is a historical fact, and it is a biblical fact, that the children of Israel, while they were slaves in Egypt all those centuries, did learn the skills that helped them build their nation once they finally crossed the River Jordan. I never said, and the state of Florida is not saying, that therefore slavery is an awesome institution. It's a ridiculous comment to make unless you're race baiting, which is what the vice president was doing.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead, Chris.
Keep in mind that President Joe Biden has made all kinds of comments about slavery. He told black people back 10 years ago, the Republicans are going to put, quote, y'all back in chains.
Right.
And he has repeatedly made the lie that Georgia had that election reform that denied people food and water while they were voting,
right.
Which is not true. And it's been proven time and time and time again. But he's still out there saying that kind of stuff. This won't stop her from saying something else that's malarkey.
Because she's got malarkey. I like that Biden administration. They're one of their go-to words. Listen, you can make these kinds of crackpot statements if you've got the mainstream media running interference. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. what the Democrats do.
You know, there's the part about I keep up with politics. We keep up with politics and government because it's part of our job. And I think as responsible American citizens, we need to keep up with what's going on, right?
Right.
I mean, we don't have to be engrossed in it every day, all day, but I'm just saying you need to have a basic understanding of what's going on in your local, state, and national government. But what I detest most about political campaigns, and I mean this for Republicans and Democrats, is when you try to, and this is never going to stop, but it's when you intentionally take somebody else's words out of context and you try to exploit them to your benefit when clearly you know that isn't what they intended.
Right.
This happens over and over and over again. It's like you just get desensitized to it. I guess to a certain extent, you just say, well, it's all politics. But, and you know, Republicans can do it too. The Republicans can do it too, right. You know.
It's lying. It's not just a different perspective on a policy
right.
where you disagree and you say, well, he believes this, I believe that. It's lying if you knowingly understand that's not what your opponent meant. But you're going to put those words in your opponent's mouth.
Right.
And
try to make them look as bad as you possibly can when it's unfair.
Right.
It's because you know that isn't what they said or isn't what they meant, but you still try to get some kind of benefit to your side because of it. But it happens a lot. Go ahead, Chris.
Would you like to hear from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Kamala's,
about what?
Kamala's remarks?
Okay, Vice President Harris.
Yes,
you're going with Kamala now.
Well, it's been she herself has said it both ways. It's Kamala, and it's been Kamala.
Would you call him Ron? I know what you're saying.
Yeah, the governor of Florida,
VP Harris, mm-hmm. aka Kamala, and so she went. The devil went down to Georgia, but Harris went down to Florida to.
Which borders
to do the work of the devil. See there, I just did what I accused others of doing, right? No, she went down to Jacksonville to try to in essence, to say Governor DeSantis is pro-slavery. Okay. Yeah. That's basically why she went. I mean, that's she went to say the children of Florida
they
being taught
about Donald
slavery.
Trump every day, every hour.
Okay. So
the other guy,
Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, who's also a Republican candidate.
Yes.
Responded to Harris. And here's what he said.
Clip six.
She hopped on that plane very quickly on Friday to come down to Florida to spew this hoax. She wasn't going down to the border to actually do the job there to secure it. She wasn't working on all the cities that are decaying because of Soros-backed prosecutors. She's not worried about the military running low on ammo and weapon stocks. No, she's here to try to push a fake narrative about what Florida did. The interesting thing about this is Florida eliminated critical race theory from our K through 12 schools. We got to stop indoctrinating kids in this country, and we can't be teaching them to hate America.
I view that as a tomahawk dunk on Harris, huh? Do you know, if you follow basketball, though, you know what a tomahawk dunk
is? I sure do.
It's a Michael Jordan type slam, right?
This is the one-handed.
Yeah.
Dunk.
Yeah. And he said, Governor DeSantis there said he and the Florida legislature eliminated critical race theory in public schools in Florida. I mean, that's what he said.
And critical race theory is a load of hogwash. I'm happy to hear that Florida and other states are fighting back against that indoctrination of our children to hate America.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the program here on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Chris. Next story, Chris.
Well, I've been covering the story for several weeks now of a guy named Dr. Jonathan Varkey. He is a biology professor, or he was, at St. Philip's College, in addition to being a pastor at a congregation in the San Antonio area. The reason Dr. Varkey has been in the news is because he was fired, he says, from St. Philip's College in San Antonio for teaching biology. He's a biology professor who says he was fired for teaching biology. Several months ago, Dr. Varkey was in class and he was teaching biological science. You're defined by chromosomes, X and Y. That determines your sex. And according to Varkey and his attorneys at First Liberty Institute, several students were offended by that. And they left the classroom and later filed a complaint against Dr. Varkey. Varkey was notified by St. Philip's College of the complaint, and he says he was later fired for teaching biology, which is what he was hired to do. Now, Dr. Varkey has lawyered up again with First Liberty Institute, and the update with this story is yesterday they filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission to determine whether or not he was wrongfully terminated. Targeted because he's a pastor on the side. And so they are waiting to hear back from the EEOC as to whether or not they can sue the school over this. And by the way, I did reach out to St. Philip's College as well as the Alamo College's school system there in the area, and they told me they don't comment on personnel matters and or threatened litigation. But that is where First Liberty intends to go once they hear back from the EEOC. The reason I bring this up today is because I spoke with attorney Kayla Tony of First Liberty Institute. And she told me that since news broke of Dr. Varkey and his case, they've actually heard from several people connected with this college that are sharing negative experiences about their experiences at this school. That was a big setup, but here now is that sound, clip seven.
We have had several folks reach out, either current or former employees of the Alamo College's system, and they have been sharing their stories of, you know, discrimination or just an atmosphere of fear that seems to be pervading this college system. So that's been really interesting to learn. And I think, you know, their stories can be helpful and Dr. Varkey's stories can be helpful to them as well. And it's just one more reason why, you know, we need courageous Americans to stand up against employers that are punishing them for their religious beliefs. No American should be forced out of their job because of their religious beliefs. And it really does everyone in the educational community a disservice when Americans are marginalized or punished because of their faith.
All right, now, why the tie-in to religion? I know that this biology professor, Johnson Varkey, was accused of religious preaching by the school. But how did that tie in? He's a biology professor. He's teaching widely accepted scientific and medical and biological views
right.
in terms of sex being the product of chromosomes. What's this tie-in with religion?
Yeah, that's a great question, and forgive me if I didn't convey that trying to set up the soundbite. He is concerned that he was perhaps targeted based on the fact that he is a pastor on the side, in addition to being a biology professor. But Varkey and his attorney have both said that he was not preaching. He was not sharing his religious, he was not pushing his religion in the classroom. He was merely teaching as a biology professor how sex is defined.
All right.
Fred Jackson stepped into the room, our news director for American Family Radio News. Fred, what's going on?
Well, as you guys, I think, talked about early on in the program this morning, that Hunter Biden, supposed to appear, is inside a Wilmington, Delaware court.
Federal court.
Right. Was supposed to simply plead to a couple of misdemeanor charges on delaying paying income tax,
right,
and lying on a form when he purchased a gun. It should have taken 10, 15 minutes. It's almost 2 hours now. And what everybody's been wondering, because they weren't allowing any electronic devices from producers inside the courtroom. What we just found out is the judge in this case, Mary Ellen Norica, federal judge, one of the first questions she asked the prosecution, is there an ongoing investigation that goes beyond these charges involving Hunter Biden? The prosecution said yes. And apparently she says, I got some problems. Because if I allow this plea today, this would keep Hunter Biden from being found guilty at a later point on related charges. So now they're in recess and they're discussing this. So far, she has not accepted the pleas on these two misdemeanor charges. She has the right to say today, I don't accept this guilty plea because of the ongoing investigation. Earlier today, we learned that she has in her possession this amicus brief that talks about the whistleblower's testimony. These misdemeanor charges that the prosecution originally agreed to happened before we knew all about the whistleblower testimonies. So what Hunter Biden's lawyers feared is happening. This judge is saying there's other stuff going on outside of here that doesn't, that's outside of these charges. I'm not going to be willing to accept. This is speculation at this point, which is why they're in recess. At this point, I'm not willing to accept the plea.
Is this the amicus brief that we were talking about earlier as well?
Yes.
That one of the lawyers, one of the attorneys for Hunter Biden, allegedly attempted to get the clerk?
It's the same brief.
Okay.
It's the same brief. So, like I said, this was supposed to take 15 minutes from 9 o'clock Central this morning. It's still going on.
Well, we have a television in our studio here, mm-hmm, in which we keep on Fox News or sometimes some other networks, but right now it says breaking news: Hunter plea deal appears to fall apart at hearing. So that seems to be
not quite there yet,
right?
But she is asking some very probing questions, which is resulting in this very long.
What did the whistleblower claim in this case?
Well, the whistleblower claims go back to their testimony that they were kept back from exploring information that they had received. The FBI informant who talked to the Burisma CEO, who talked about the money that he was forced to pay to the Bidens in order to get rid of the prosecutor that was investigating Burisma.
Right.
You have that going on. You have the laptop information about money from China.
And then was there also an IRS whistleblower, too, with regards to the...
So you have you have whistleblowers from both the FBI and the IRS.
That is correct.
Listen, let's just boil it down to plain person language here.
Okay.
For the common man.
Because that's okay. Where we're for the common man.
We're for
man.
The common man.
We're for the little man.
What appears to have happened here, and I know people are going to go, you think? Listen, and down through history, rich and powerful people have gotten special privileges,
right,
or been able to wield their influence to get end results that the average person
can't get. Right.
And that's what happened here.
Absolutely.
Huh? That's what happened
in
here.
In terms of the plea deal.
Yeah.
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 The misdemeanors.
Yeah. And also, it appears by these whistleblowers, multiple whistleblowers, that the, Joe Biden is either the candidate at the time or he was president. He certainly was VP.
When all of this started, he was vice president.
When all of this started, he was vice president. Later, he became president. And the people who work for him say, and underneath them, they put the pressure on the people underneath them to not do anything much with Hunter Biden or investigating him because he's the president's son. You want us? And so they, in a meeting they have that's off the record, they go, are you, you want us all to be fired? You want us all to be in trouble here? How do you think your career is going to advance if you go after Hunter Biden?
Right. And not only because Hunter Biden's the son of the president, but because it appears that what the trouble that Hunter Biden was going to get into was going to do splash damage on the president and perhaps result in Joe Biden getting in trouble. Yeah.
Well, there's also the change in narrative this week by the White House. Joe Biden for years has said, I don't even talk to my son about business. And then all of a sudden,
right,
Hunter Biden's business partner comes up apparently and is going to testify. Oh, yeah.
Is this Bob Alinsky?
No, this this is another one. Archer.
Okay.
But yes. Corinne Jean-Pierre, she's changed her. She's a White House spokesperson. Now she's saying he wasn't in business with Hunter
Correct.
Biden.
Yes. I shared that link.
Yeah, yes. Not that he doesn't. Nobody believes. Nobody believes that Joe Biden ever talked to his son about his business ventures.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody believes Hunter Biden and his story.
That's right. So anyway, where we are with this judge, she is concerned about double jeopardy. If she accepts the plea, then there's double jeopardy involved on Hunter Biden.
Because it would be prosecution based on the same alleged crimes.
Yes.
I'm guessing she's a federal judge.
Yes.
Based on this taking this long, I'm going to guess that she's going to say, I'm not going to accept a plea deal till we find out what the other, because it may be more serious.
Yes, right. That's where it appears to be heading at this hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a courageous judge. This is a woman judge.
Yes.
What's her name? Do we know?
Norica.
Norica.
Yes.
That's courageous to make that stand because the whole world's watching.
We don't know yet.
Well, that's true.
We don't know
that's
yet. True. Yes. But as Fred came in to tell us, this has taken nearly 2 hours now and what it should have taken half an hour, right?
Right.
So
right.
We'll have to see what happens. Maybe.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Thank you. Never a dull moment. Never a dull moment in D.C. and surrounding areas, because this is in Wilmington, Delaware.
You know, you and I were talking this morning about, not on the radio, from here till Election Day 2024 is going to be the absolute craziest, 15 months in American political history. At least recent history, I think, because you got all this drama over here with Biden,
right?
Inc.
Yeah,
right.
The Biden crime family.
Well,
allegedly,
yeah. All the money, the whistleblowers, all the way down to Hunter Biden selling his paintings for hundreds of thousands of dollars to people who get appointed to positions of power by his dad.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing just stinks to high heaven.
Right.
The whole story. And him flying, Hunter Biden flying over to, remember he flew over to China on Air Force Two.
Yeah.
To meet with business partners.
Or business partners of Hunter Biden coming into the White House. Visitor logs showing.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that whole thing. And plus, you add to that his mental condition. And his physical condition, we've talked about that before. Then you got, Vice President Harris over there. Sad. It's sad.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Her situation.
Well, let me toss in another thing on the Biden side, because we haven't even gone on the Republican side yet.
Right.
On the Biden side, whatever happened to Tara Reid, the woman who accused the former vice president of
sexual
assault. Mm-hmm. Sexual
assault. Well, the Democrats didn't believe that.
Right. So that's being ignored. And on the other side, you have with the Manhattan hearing in December. This is Alvin Bragg going after
porn President star Trump, hush money,
porn
for
star
Trump.
Hush money, allegedly. Okay, that means That means you could potentially in 2024 have four court cases on against former President Trump, who increasingly looks like he's going to be the Republican nominee. And so this is all coming.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The judge on the obstruction of justice charges having to do with the classified documents.
Right.
That President Trump says are mine. And the DOJ says, no, they're not.
Right.
And they're going to court. That federal judge moved that case to May.
Yes, of 2024.
May. Well, that's almost when the primaries are almost over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the description mess.
Oh, boy, 2024.
Yeah.
What a great year.
We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.